Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining us at this time is Pauline Durand-Vial, CEO of FERA, the Federation of European Film Directors, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year and will soon be holding its annual General Assembly. Pauline, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Great to be here.
You know, I'm excited about talking about the Federation of European Directors. And in looking up info about it, I thought it curious to have come across on the website a question that seemed very simple to me. But sometimes the simple things are the ones that maybe get a little disregarded and sometimes don't get asked as much. But because we are talking about a Federation of European Directors, I thought I would take a hint from it and begin the interview by simply asking you, this is an interesting angle, what is a director?
What is a director? That's a great question, actually. Believe it or not, I've been working for directors for over 10 years now. So actually asking me to define it is quite the challenge you're putting me into. Basically, a director is the main author of the creative process of creating a film or a TV series episode. It's the person who is in charge of setting everything into motion and make it until the very end of the process. Because when you start working on creating a film or an episode for a TV series or a TV series itself, you start by having an idea and then you write it up and then you shoot it with tons of other people's involved, actors, technicians, and a lot of people from the production side as well. Then once that's finished, you have to edit the rushes you got from the shooting, post-production them, and mix them. And in the end, you're going to have the final film or the final episode. And the director is the person which basically is present throughout the process to make it creatively coherent, let's say.
Recognize the centrality of the importance of the director within a film production. That brings us to the Federation of European Film Directors. And I was telling you before we actually started recording that this might be the first time that Fred actually gets to talk with someone from the Federation of the European Film Directors. And so my question is very simple. Would you be able to sort of introduce it? Maybe tell us a little bit about its history and what it does, essentially.
Well, I mean, our federation is called FERA for short. It's an acronym based on the French Fédération Européenne des Réalisateurs de l'Audiovisuel. And this organization was founded in 1980, which is why in 2020 we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. And basically what we do is that we gather all the national organizations which represent filmmakers and directors in particular. So we are an umbrella organization. We have members, I think, in over 35 countries now, mainly, of course, in Europe, since we're a European federation. The organization was basically created because there was a sense of community around European filmmaking that directors felt really strongly. So it really started out as a network. And as years went by and as the industry changed and as the European Union began to develop a sort of a sense of media, the media landscape and media regulation, we started basically lobby the European Union. So we have two missions at our core. One is to get people together and get them to talk about their craft, about how it's evolving, and what the commonality is for the European community of directors on the one end, and the other is advocacy work at European level.
Right. And, you know, how have the ways in which the Federation sort of does that evolved over the years?
Well, I mean, it evolved a lot, I think, over the last 20 years, because you really had the sense that with the changes that occurred in our industry, there was a sort of a greater attention which was brought to it by institutions like the European Commission, the European Parliament, but also at national level, you had a lot of media regulation which developed around broadcasting and then around streaming platforms nowadays. And in order to make sure that all of this is sort of consistent with the idea of keeping European audiovisual creation unique, alive, strong, with diverse voices, with proper, let's say, unique storytelling with a very great diversity of voices, then we felt like we had to chip in.
But it must be challenging as well to kind of cover such an extensive and varied territory. I'm sure that the different countries have their own, each different policies and all of that. I mean, is it a challenging effort?
It is. Yeah. It's my life. So it's basically, it's really, really interesting because we do try to find common ground all the time. And even when you're between very, very different countries with very different authors' rights traditions or media regulation habits, you will always find that what unifies our community is the sense that a director is a storyteller, and no matter what type of production he or she works on, there are a few cornerstones that they don't want to give up on. There is creative leadership, artistic freedom, and even when you're working on commissioned work where maybe your artistic vision has a more limited scope, nonetheless, there are skills put into play that people are really keen to have recognized and to be able to basically use. So that's our common ground. And then you can always find a way, you know, to reconcile different traditions when you have such a strong core commonality in a community.
And it must have been very challenging times too with the coronavirus pandemic, right?
Yeah, really, really it has been and it still is. I mean, we are very challenged by this crisis across the value chain in the audiovisual industry, because of course you have the relationship to the audience, which is very much changed. People cannot go to the cinema in the same way that they used to, but they can watch their smaller screens and a lot of content that's available there. And what does it mean exactly for the works that European directors actually create? Are they still seen in the same way? Are they accessed in the same way? Are they actually accessible at all on these new sort of dominant way to, in brackets, consume the work that they do? It's quite challenging on that end, but it's also very challenging from a day-to-day work perspective when you go on a set with a mask and a protective gear, which means that you cannot have the same level of interaction that you used to with the people on set, with your technicians, with your actors around the camera, and you have to basically put more time and more resources in making exactly the same thing. If you can do that thing in this level of constraint. So it's really very challenging at every stage of the production of audiovisual works. And we know that there's going to be a huge impact of the crisis over time for us.
Yeah. Right. I was going to ask you whether the challenges were spread out across all stages of the film process. But I guess, yes, as you mentioned, it is.
It really is. I mean, it's actually very interesting in a way, because, you know, directors are, to some part of what they do, they're really good at solving problems because they have to oversee a creative process over very different stages of production. But this level of problem solving is kind of beyond the realm of one single person or even a team of people. You really have to completely change the way you work, not only on a daily basis, but even completely change your mindset. And when you're writing something these days and you know you're going to have to face these constraints on set, you have to change the way you write, even change the way you imagine what you're going to create on the screen in the end.
The Federation's annual General Assembly is fast approaching and has been adapted to counter the challenges brought on by the coronavirus pandemic as a series of online webinars, essentially. But before we get into that, Pauline, would you be able to tell us about the role of the annual General Assembly?
Well, you know, when you have a community of over 40 members, it is very important that once a year they get to meet. You have, of course, a mandatory obligation to do so because that's the way a structured nonprofit works in any case. But even for the very core mission of our organization, it's absolutely essential that people get to meet at least once a year. So we try to do that more regularly usually, but these days we can't meet physically. And that's quite the challenge as well, because, you know, it's interesting to see how in our industry, and particularly for directors, they tend to be quite isolated in the way they work, project per project, with different teams every time. And as a community, it's really important that they get to get together once in a while. And the fact that we couldn't do it physically this year is, you know, a challenge as we are all facing these days, but we're trying to make the most of it by changing the format a little bit.
Were you hoping that you would be able to do it physically?
Well, we hoped for a few months, and then, you know, we kind of realized that it would not be reasonable. And on top of that, I mean, I can sense also that a lot of people are keen to work when the option is open. So, you know, you don't want to keep people off an opportunity to go and do what they do.
And so I understand that this year's edition will take the shape of a series of online webinars, right? So before I actually forget, what are the dates for it and where will people be able to gain access to these webinars?
So the webinars, the public ones, will take place on October 6 and October 13 in the afternoon. And all the links can be found on our website, screendirectors.eu. There's going to be a live stream on YouTube.
Right. And as you mentioned, there are public ones that people, that everyone can access. And then, of course, there's probably some webinars for members only.
Exactly.
And what can you tell me about the program itself?
Well, we thought long and hard about the program because this is such a unique year. You know, this is such a unique moment. And on top of that, it's an anniversary. So it felt like we had to sort of really find the right angles. And so because this situation that we all find ourselves into is challenging us all, I mean, in every aspects of our lives, we thought that, you know, a good way to approach it would be to first focus on the actual craft of filmmaking by looking into what makes a European filmmaker in 2020 and what the creative space of European filmmakers is today and what it will be tomorrow. So we have a great panel to discuss this with two TV directors, Renaud Bertrand and James Oz, and Isabel Quakchet from Spain and Teona Mitevska from North Macedonia. We hope to have a great conversation with them about how they actually handle this creative space in their daily work, and how this is going to be like what that's going to look like in the future. And the second panel, the second session on October 13 is basically a little bit more forward looking, in the sense that we want to try and discuss very freely what European film's future actually is, because we are all in crisis management mode at the moment in our industry, and everybody's trying to, you know, get the next gig going and to sort of deal with the constraints. But the question in everyone's mind that we don't have really time to tackle yet is, how are things going to look in 3 years, 5 years? And with the rise of global streaming platforms actually producing locally in Europe, how is the independent production segment of our industry going to survive and look like in the next 5 to 10 years? And to discuss this, we have also a great panel with people from Israel, actually, with Werner Herzog coming to chip in, and Agnieszka Holland, two filmmakers that, I mean, I don't know about you, Matt, but I really like them very much and I love their work. So that's great. And we also have people from Eurimage, Roberto Ola, and Marion Doring from the European Film Academy, as well as Hervé Ribar from Croatia. So
Yeah, you got some people representing the creme de la creme of European filmmaking there.
Well, I mean, they're good people to talk to, and also we were keen on making sure that people could actually feel free to imagine things for the future, because it seems like one of these moments where you have to inspire and let yourself be inspired. So you have to have room for that in your head, and sometimes when you're just managing the next crisis, you don't have that sort of brain space, and we're hoping to gain a little bit of ground there.
Well, this is the 40th the year of the 40th anniversary of the Federation FERA, right? We can call it that, right? And so I'm thinking, you know, we mentioned the future. It's a good time to reflect on the past, but also, what do you see the future of FERA being like?
Well, the future is always very uncertain. I mean, this industry and the cinema industry in Europe in general has been pegged as on the verge of death for a long, long time, you know? So
since its birth.
Exactly. So I'm always very hopeful. I believe that we can manage pretty much everything that these times are going to throw at us. But at the same time, there is no denying that our federation is not the biggest organization out there. We're not the most, the super well resourced. So we just hope that with, you know, support from our membership and a good and steady proposition, we will still be relevant in the next few years. And so far, I mean, we've always had a strong sense of community to carry us through thick and thin. So I'm hopeful, I would say, and I think we have a lot of fights in the near future. So it will be good to still be around to do that. Yeah.
All right, Pauline. Thank you very much for joining us.
Sure, it was my pleasure.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.